Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Mesechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kadesh, is daf Ayin. And that brings us right back into the middle of a sugya, which is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So here the question is, actually it was a three-way machlokas. We're not going to get too much into Rabbi Yossi, but we had a three-way machlokas. Is Malika, was our central focus, is Malika able to be metaher, a bird which was a trefa, in the same way that shechita is metaher, an animal that's a trefa? And that led us also into the more fundamental question of whether a bird bichlal, even if it's chulin, and you're using shechita, can be metuheret midei the din of nevela. So remember that a bird which is kosher, an of tahor, is only metame beta blia. Touching is not going to be able to be metame you. Carrying it is not metame you. But eating it is metame you. So we had a three-way machlokas. According to Rabbi Meir, either shechita or malika is able to be metayer a bird from tumas nevela. According to Rabbi Yehuda, neither shechita nor malika is metayra bird midei nevela, and there's no such thing as the tahara of a nevela, except that everybody has agreed that if it's a non-kosher bird, then it's not metame at all, mishum nevela. Not bemaga, not bemasa, and not bebet ablia. Rabbi Yossi holds that Rabbi Meir's kal v'chomer that would explain why it is that a bird should kol shekin be made tohira by shechita, if even an animal, which is far more metame, because it's metame b'mago b'masa, is metuher midei nevela, so kol shekin a bird, that he goes along with. But he says we don't have any raya, because you can't use that kal v'chomer, because of dayo, to apply also to malika. And therefore, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one thing, that malika is not metayer, and he agrees with Rabbi Meir on the other thing, that shechita actually is metayer. Those were the three approaches that we had, and it got us into some very detailed questions about how to be medayek. The various psukim, we went through four different places in the Torah where there's a mention of nevela and trefa and the dinim of, including the dinim of achila of the oof, and the dinim of chelev legabi nevela v'trefa, and we were medayik in all of them very differently according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the last thing that we had learned yesterday was that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the very fact that the Torah talks about a nevela when it tells me the dinim, it means that it's only in cases where there is an iser nevela. But if there's an iser that comes more fundamentally than nevela, so if you're talking about something which is tame, this was the last thing that he had learned, which is that an oaf that's tame, said Rabbi Yehuda, I don't need to learn that out from any other diukim about the comparison, the trefa, and so on. It's just very simple. If the Torah is telling you a din of nevela and what the halacha is about that nevela, then it's referring to something where the iser is because of nevela, and not where you're dealing with a non-kosher species, where the iser is not mishum nevela. The iser is the fundamental iser of bal tochal tameh. You're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal or bird, in this case, is what we were talking about. That's where we got up to, was the last words that we learned yesterday. So now the Gemara says, if you're telling me that the word nevela itself implies that it cannot be referring to something that would be usur anyway because of bal tochal tameh, then let's go back to the original diak that we had yesterday. The original diak that we had yesterday, which is the chelev nevela, the chelev trefa, and from there we said that the idea of the trefa is to tell me that it has to be compared to the trefa. And this was the way that Rabbi Yehuda had learned out that there's no way it's always going to be tamei mishum nevela if it's a trefa, because there's no need to mention trefa if we already know the din of nevela. So now the question is, we ought to be able to learn out the word, because yesterday we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word trefa comes to tell me in the pasuk about Chalev nevela, chalev trefa, Rabbi Yehuda said he needs that word trefa to tell me the halacha that a non-kosher kind of animal is excluded. But he doesn't, because he should have been able to learn that the same way that he just learned from the word nevela that a non-kosher bird is excluded. So isn't it exactly the same? How did he claim that he needed the word trefa in that pasuk to teach me to be mamayet a behemah tmeah? Hainami typically mi chelev nevela. This halacha that the chelev of a non-kosher animal is metame, the same way is the way that you learned that the word nevela means mi shi isuro mishum bal tochal nevela. So here, true, it's mi shi isuro mishum bal tochal chelev nevela. If I don't need to say trefa, if the Torah is telling me a special new halacha about the din of the chelev of nevela, so then that means it's referring to something where the isra of the achila would be because of the fact that it's a chelev nevela, and not that it's the chelev of a non-kosher animal. So you should say, Mishi isro bishum bal tochal chelev nevela, ma she'enken, if it's not kosher, yotz tazo, she'en isro mishum bal tochal chelev nevela, ela mishum tameh. So therefore, the word trefa is not needed. And Rabbi Yehuda is claiming that the word trefa is there in order to teach me this special new halacha, but then he doesn't have any way to explain trefa here. Says the Gemara, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda does not need that word trefa at all in the pasuk about chelev nevelav, chelev trefa, for what we thought, namely that it comes to exclude a non-kosher animal, but still, it's a very important word for a different reason, because the trefa over there is coming to include the din of a chaya. Now, note that it doesn't say anything over there. We just thought we were talking about behema the whole time. Remember that a chaya has a completely different din than a behema, because the chelev of a chaya is not usher at all in a regular kosher chaya. So where there's a chelev that is brought on the Mizbeach, in the case of the behemoth, all of that chelev, the iser of chelev, is linked to the fact that the chelev is what is put on the Mizbeach. And that's where we're told that you're not allowed to eat the chelev. But when it comes to a chaya is not used as an animal that's brought on the Mizbeach at all, and therefore there is actually also no iser on its chelev. So now the question is, if a chaya dies and it isn't shalchut, what's the din of its chelev? We already learned that the chelev of a kosher behema is not metame even as a nevela. What's the din of the chelev of a chaya? Because the chelev of a chaya should be just like the meat of the chaya. So therefore comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, you know what that trefa is coming to explain? It's true, it's not coming to tell me that the chelev of a non-kosher animal is not metame, because it is. But the word trefa, that I can learn from nevela. But the word trefa is coming because I need it to tell me, hi trefa, mi boila tu yechaya. What would be the din of a chaya? That the halacha would be that the chelev of a chaya is also not metame benevela. Because I would have thought, only Mishachalba Asuru Bisara Mutar. Look, the pasuk is telling me that in a case where you have a nevela, and normally the chelev of that animal is usur to eat, it's not similar to the basur. Okay, so then that's a kosher behema. And in a normal case, the chelev of a behema is usur, and the basur of a behema is mutter. So it's coming to tell me that in a case where it died, that the chelev is not metame. But then that would exclude a case of a chaya, because a chaya, the chelev is exactly the same as the behema. And therefore, yatzta zo, where the chelev and the basur is both mutter, so I would have thought, okay, so then if that's the case, that even if it died, it's going to be the same. And if the basur is metame, then the chelev is metame. Therefore, the extra word trefa comes to tell us that even a chaya, where there's no difference between the chelev and the basur, both are mutter b'achila, even the chaya is not metame as an avela for its chelet. Well, why? I mean, maishna tmeya de ein chelba chaluk mi besara. I mean, why are we saying that it's different? The chalev of the chaya is the same as the chalev of a tamea. And how is it that we come to say that the treifel should tell me that it's included? Not to mention the fact that when it says again, remember at the end of that pasuk, after the pasuk had taught us that called chalev you're not allowed to eat, it then says, v'chalev beima, v'chalev nevela, v'chalev treifa, yaseh lechol melacha. And then it repeats for some reason, v'achol lo tochlu, but don't eat it. Well, of course, don't eat it. That's what we started with. So that extra pasuk, v'achol lo tochlu, implies that the chalev of the nevela of a chaya actually is mitame, as we're going to see a little bit later. And that is that the achol lo tochlu gufa comes to say that it is, when it comes to the chelav of the nevela, it is metame. We're going to be medayik that very soon. And therefore, how did you come to the conclusion that the chelav of a chaya is not metame? So that can't be the reason that Rabbi Yehuda uses the word treifa. Elam Rabbaya, treifa actually comes for the very din of the chelav of a treifa. Because you might have thought that, look, the din of a behema tameya, that it is metame with its chalev, and of course with its basur. So in the same way that a tameya, which is asura mechayim, a treifa is asura mechayim. And just like a tameya, which was asura even before it became an avela, if it dies, the chalev is metame as an avela, a treifa, which now dies and becomes an avela, the chalev should become tame. Though the din that a chalev of a treifa, ye'aseh l'chol melacha, is absolutely essential, even in the simple din of what it's come to say. It means exactly what it says. But I need it for that. It's not there for any kind of extra limud. Doesn't that make sense? No, says the Gemara, it doesn't make sense. If you're going to say that, so then you could say exactly the same thing about the word treifa that we just were derish in the Nivlas Of. There too, we could say, Hainami biboy, shelo tomar. So, ilva of tamea surbachila. Since a non-kosher bird is asur b'achila and a treifa is asur b'achila, so just like an of tame, as we saw, is not mitame at all, it's not mitame bebet ablia, so maybe you would have thought that a treifa is not mitame bebet ablia. So I need to know the word treifa together with the din of nevela, that if it's a kosher bird, even if it was a treifa, it is mitame with tumas blia, like any other nevela of such a kosher bird. So then that would mean, Abaya, that if what you're saying is true, then the whole diak of Rabbi Yehuda breaks down completely. And anyway, let's be honest. You can't learn out a treifa from a tameya. It's not the same at all. V'od mi'ikel amelav treifa mi tameya. Tameya never had a shas hakosher. So what are you going to bring a raya from something that is essentially usher? A treifa was once kosher. Now something happened to it that creates an additional iser that the Torah said you're not allowed to eat this thing. A treifa itelo sha'ata kosher. So now you're going to teach me that therefore it should be all of a sudden it should turn into having the same dinim as a behemoth tameya? Why would I think such a thing? And v'chitema, maybe you'll say to me, well, what about if it was born a treifa? It could have had some kind of pegam in a lung or whatever the case would be that was congenital. That wouldn't matter, because we're not talking about a particular case. We're talking about the concept of treifa, b'mina, in the mean that we call treifa. Is it fair to learn out the concept of a treifa from the concept of a behema tameya? I mean, who would make the mistake of thinking that? This thing is essentially kosher and has this particular problem that makes it also for you to eat. So there's no reason to believe that we're going to compare just because a behema tameya would be metame the rechelev, therefore the treifa, it doesn't make any sense. So we still don't have a reason for why it is Rabbi Yehuda would actually not need. He doesn't consider that word to be extra if we don't what exactly? is it needed for? Elam Arava Nevela Vitrefa has come to tell me a whole new din. Rabbi Yehuda Shita, all over, is that Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the din if you have something which is Usur, in this case it's Chelev, the animal was Usur, the Chelev of that animal was Usur even while it was alive. It's Chelev, and that's how it was created from the beginning. Now the animal dies without Shechita. Would you be over on the Isur of Nevela if you eat that chelev, or would we say, since it was already usur as chelev before it died, there would be no isur of nevela. Of course, it would still be usur as chelev, but you would not get malchus for nevela. Therefore, the Torah says, chelev nevela v'chelev trefa, to tell me a big chiddush. The isur of nevela should be chal on the isur of chelev in this particular case. And therefore, he would be chayiv both for the Isur of Chelev and for the Isur of Nevela. So to Trefa, Yavo Isur Trefa, even though the Isur of Chelev came first, and it will be chal on the Isur of Chelev. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes perfectly good sense. And I'll tell you why we need both to know that Isur chal al Isur in the case of Chelev of Nevela, and that Isur chal al Isur in the case of Chelev of Trefa. I need to know both the veil of a trefa is chal on the Isur chelev. Because let's say the Torah only would have said chelev nevela. I would have said, yes, that's true. But remember, nevela has a special chumrah, and perhaps that's why it would be chal even on the chelev. And that's because once it becomes nevela, nevela is metame. But trefa, maybe since there's no din of tuma on a trefa, maybe Isur Trefa is not chal on chelev. On the other hand, Yashmina Trefa, I would have said, okay, Trefa is actually like the chelev in the sense that it is so chomer that it becomes usur even while the animal is alive. Like we said yesterday, you'll take off a piece of basar, which is not an aver, but it's still basar, would be also usur as chelev immediately. So maybe nevela, which only, of course, by definition, can only be chal after the behemah is dead. So I would say, okay, so maybe that's not chomer enough to be chal above and beyond the Isur of Chelev that preexisted. Therefore, Tzricha, the Torah has to tell us, both nevela and trefa are chal, uncharacteristically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are chal in the case of Chelev. So this is now how Rabbi Yehuda is dorish all of these psukim. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, actually, Rabbi Meir says that the din is that Malika and Shechita is Metaher, an oath, which is Tahar. So according to him, how does he explain the word Trefa? Because Rabbi Yehuda has shown that the additional word Trefa comes to say it's always going to be Osir as a Trefa, even in the event that it was Shechted. Rabbi Meir holds here, before we even get to Malika, Rabbi Meir holds that Shechita definitely is Metayer, an Ov Tahar, which is Trefa. So how does he explain the fact that the Torah puts in that extra word Trefa for no reason?
Rabbi needs to drink.
Yeah. He needs that additional Trefa to tell me that if you went ahead and did a shechita to chulin, which is inside of the Beis HaMikdash, that it would still not be metame bituma the Beit HaBliya. And that is basically the way we originally learned it before, the way we learned it on Friday. So there we said, you know, you might have thought that because of the fact that the Torah has never told you that there's shechita for chulin, bifnim, so maybe it should be called a nevela, and it would be metame bebeis habliya if you shechted it, comes along trefa to say that it has to be like trefa. Just like trefa, remember, there's no difference between inside and outside. Anything else which is used to take away the life of a bird has to be the same inside and outside. Well, obviously, shechita outside is exactly the way you're supposed to shech the bird and would never become a nevela, so therefore it's not similar to shechita. That's how we learned it out before, 2 days ago. And that pasuk, says Rabbi Meir, that's exactly true. I need that pasuk to tell me that if I do a shechita of an of chulin inside of the Beis HaMikdash, it is not going to be metame, even though that's not the mokum that I'm allowed to shecht a bird, which is chulin. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that that's true? How does he know that chulin, that is nishchat, not nimlak, but that is nishchat in the azorah, that it's not metame? Oh, he says, that's not a problem. Remember that we have that other pasuk about the kohen, which strangely tells us that a nevela v'treifa lo yochal, a kohen is not supposed to eat a nevela v'treifa l'tam abba. So there too, it's talking about, if it's talking about achila, so it's got to be talking about a achila of the nevela of an of tahar, because there's no other place where there's a tuma of achila. That's what it says, lo yochal l'tam abba. So there is where he uses that word, treifa. And Rabbi Meir, how does he explain that? What's the need for that extra treifa? Well, I need one to tell me the mu'ut shchita lifnim, so that there's no din of tuma if you're shecht inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And one of them comes to tell me that if you went ahead and you killed, I mean, because there's no real din of shechita for a non-kosher bird, but one is to be mamayit an ov tame. If an ov tame dies, you might have thought, good heavens, if the Torah told us that an ov tohar is metame, kosher can an ov tame is metame, therefore comes along the pasuk to say, no, dafka, if it's something that has a din of treifas. An ov tame doesn't have a din of treifas, and therefore it's not included in the iser. It has to be either nevela of a treifa, but if it can't be a treifa, it can't be a nevela. And that teaches us that if it's a non-kosher bird, let's say you shechted an owl, then the din would be, it is not metame bebeit ablia, surprisingly. And it's not metame at all, because we didn't find any other tuma whatsoever, certainly not a tumas baga or tumas basa, on the nevela of an oaf of any kind. Not an oaf tame, and not an oaf tahar. Oh, so how does Rabbi Yehuda know that an oaf tame is not metame at all? Well, we said before, he learns that out from the word nevela, that nevela means only something that's usher because it's a nevela, not something which is usher because it's an owl. Why would I be talking about it as an avela, since it's irrelevant? Ah, so why doesn't Rabbi Meir use that? Rabbi Meir said, I need the word dreifa to tell me that. Can't I learn it out just from the word nevela? No, because I need nevela in terms of achilas nevela, which it says there. The kol nefesh asher tochal nevela v'treifa. What is that coming to tell me? That the shiur of eating a nivlas of tahar is only metame if you ate the shiur of a kezias. Well, isn't that obvious? It has to be a shiur of a kezias. I mean, since the word occurred together with the concept of achila, and if the Torah calls it achila, the Torah always refers to achila in terms of eating a kezias. So it says, v'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utreifa asher tochal v'chibes begadav, and so on and so forth, v'tomei ad ha'aref. So, doesn't achila mean, by definition, a kezias? Why would I need an extra pasuk to tell me specifically that it's only metame with the shear of a kezias? True, but there are two elements to the shear of a kezias. One is the total amount that you're eating, and the other is the amount of time that you're eating it within, right? That has to be b'chtei achilas pras. Now, the fact that the Torah told me that what we're referring to over here is a tuma that comes through achila, that's true, and it would require the achila of a kezayit. But remember that this entire halacha is not a normal achila. I mean, this thing is a completely new idea, that something which is dead There's a relationship to eating something which is dead, which is not normally considered even food. That was the whole parak that we had about Nivlas Ha'of, remember? And I might have thought that since the whole idea is a chiddush, and that the Torah should say that there's a concept of tuma that comes only through achila, no other way, I would have thought, look, that whole idea runs against everything else that we know. So then maybe in this case, it's just the fact of the consumption and not the modality of the consumption. Oh, I understand. Consumption has a shear like anything else. But as far as, and you have to eat it at that speed because that's the way people normally eat, this is not normal. This entire thing is a chiddush. So maybe we wouldn't apply the din of requiring the achila to be done betoch achila's pras. Therefore, kamash malan, that even so, a special din of tumas b'liya, in the base b'liya, has all of the dinim of achila, not only that it requires a kezias to be metame, but that it requires a kezias b'chei achilas pras to be metame. Tana rabbanan. So let's go back to that pasuk. V'chelev nevela, v'chelev treifa. What are we talking about over here? This is the fundamental braita that discusses the pasuk as we first learned it. So chelev nevela, v'chelev treifa, yaseh v'chol melacha, v'yachol lo tochlu. What type of chelev are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the chelev of a behema tahira. And it died, and af al pi that its butzer is metame, the chelev is not metame. Says you. How do I know that that's true? Hataomer b'chelev behemah Torah katuv medaber. Maybe this is talking about the chelev of a behemah tameya. And look, you could say, Amrit, tir michlal shchuta, v'tir michlal chelev. The Torah gave us a way of being metahir animals from tumas nevela, right? One of them is to do shchita, and one of them is if it is a chelev. Well, those are both going to not be metame as a nevela. So, in the same way that when the Torah says you can take away tumas nevelas by using a knife and doing an act of shchita, did that refer to non-kosher animals? No, shchita is only done on kosher animals. So, it was only referring to an animal which is tahor and not an animal which is tameh. It makes sense that the alternative, I shouldn't say methodology, but the alternative situation in which a nevela is tahor, namely chelev nevela, applies the same way that a dead bird is tahor if you shechted it, because then it's not a dead bird, then it's food. So the same thing should be true about the tahar. This idea of the chelev being tahar should apply. It's talking only about a case where the animal is tahar, and not where it's an animal which is a min tameh. So it makes sense that both of them should be the same essential idea, and therefore we should take it in that direction. Af kishetir mikol chelev, it's referring to a kosher animal and not to a tummy animal. Maybe that's why you mean to tell us that when the Torah says the idea of it should be a selachol malacha, it's referring to an animal which is a kosher species. But that may not be true. Let's look at it a different way. Okulach l'derech zu. How about if I present it like this? We find that the Torah is metaher michlal nevela. The Torah gives us a way to get out of nevela. Now, that is going to be referring to, we're going to see at the end, a tame bird. A tame bird that dies is completely tahar, right? Not even metame bebet avliya, as we just showed. So there are places where the Torah says something is not metame as a nevela. And there's other places where the Torah said something is not metame mipnei nevela. One is talking about the case of the of tame, which is not metame as a nevela. And the other is talking about chelev, which is not tame. So just like when the Torah specified that a nevela is tahor, it was dafka referring to a non-kosher bird, not to a kosher bird. So makashat tier michlal nevela would only refer to an oaf that was tame, And of that star, it was not Mater, sorry, not Matir, Anavela. So it was Dafka B'Tamei Avelo B'Torah. So maybe this pasuk that tells me that Chelev is also Tahar is talking about Dafka Tmeya bird and not a Torah bird. So we have two opposite ways of understanding what we are talking about over here. Now, Amar Kishababa Derzo, if you take a look at the way we look at it this way, initially, we end up saying, well, it's got to be referring to the chelav of a tahar animal. But if you look at it this way, this later way, so then Kishababa Derzo, it would mean dafka, it's referring to a tummy animal. So how do I know which one it's talking about? Ah, says the Braita. Now you know why we have to mention trefa. The reason we have to mention trefa is to say that we are clearly referring to a type of animal that can be a trefa. Can a non-kosher animal be a trefa? No, there's no halacha of trefa on a min tameh. Therefore, mi she yesh b'mina trefa, and that clarifies that this entire halacha of chelev being tohar, v'yeaseh l'chol melacha, is a reference to chelev of a min that has trefa, which means it has to be a min tohar. Okay, that's the part that interested us. We started the brisa. Let's just finish it inside. Okay, so then I would say a non-kosher species, which doesn't have shaychus to trefas, that would be excluded. But lo otziata chayana, this is the drasha that we said a little bit before that we're going to be getting to later today. The lo otziata chaya, sheyesh b'mina trefa. When it comes to the chaya, I would say, okay, a chaya has b'mina trefa, and therefore it should have the same halacha as the tahar. Talmud lomar v'achol lo tochluhu. That means mi shechelba asur v'sara mutar. Only the type of species, which is a behema, not a chaya, where when it was alive and we shechted it, the chelev would be asur and the basur would be mutar. But yatsa chaya, where chelba uvisara is mutar. So according to this, the chelev of a chaya actually is metame because it's the same din as its basar. And this is exactly what we were talking about before. The marker that it something which is not kosher is not included in the heter of the taira of the chelev, so too is a chaya not included in that heter. On my lay Rav Yaakov bar Abba Rava, now he made a mistake. And he actually thought that when it was talking about the Tatera, we said in the Braita, the Tatera said that something is tahar if it's not kosher, and the Tatera said something is not tameh, if it's not kosher. And there were two ways, therefore, being metayer from the Vela. What in the world? Where did the Tatera ever say that the nevela of an animal is not metame? Now, of course, that never is what the Braita meant. The Braita was talking about the nevela of an ovtame, not the nevela of a behemoth mea. But Rabbi Yaakov bar Ada got confused, and he didn't think that they were talking about an ov because he just said nevela. So he asked, what? Nivlas behemoth tahira, hu de metama, nivlas behemoth mea lo metama? What are you saying? That a non-kosher animal is not metame. That's absolutely wrong from the pasuk. Omar lei, so Rava said to him, oy, 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 kama sabi shabishtuba, so many great people didn't understand this braita. What's so hard to understand about this braita? Seifa ata'an l'nivlatsov tame. Wasn't talking about a behema. It was talking about an oaf. And obviously, the Torah is completely mitayer the ov tameh from any type of tumas nevelas. Okay, so Rabbi Meir therefore ended up saying that both the malika, for which he found a special pasuk, and shchita is mitayer from nevela if the bird was a trefa. Now, the question is, says Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Meir said that you can take away the tuma of a bird, even though it was done b'smol or it was done b'layla, that was only talking about a bird that was roy for the mizbeach. Because, I mean, remember, the sola locha was based on the idea that if it helps in some way, then it would be kosher, because it's not similar to trefa, which doesn't help in any way. Remember Rabbi Meir's original diak. But that means that Rabbi Meir was only being metayer the tuma of a trefa if the bird was ru'uya for the mizbeach. So it was a tmima. Of course, tmima, remember, by birds does not mean the same thing tummy means by an animal. By an animal, tummy means that any of the mumim, even something very small, like doikin shiba'ayin, that would make it non-kosher from the mizbeach. By a bird, the only thing that is not kosher from the mizbeach because of mum is mechuseret aver. So what happened? We had the case before. It had an eye gouged out or it was missing a leg. So something like that. Okay, but that's what we're referring to in the idea of Ba'alei Mumin because we're talking about birds. But Lemaisa, if it would be a Ba'al Mumin, it was puzzle for the Mizbeach, so then Malika couldn't be Metire it because, after all, even if it would be Ola, it would be Teret because it's not Roy for the Mizbeach at all and it's not considered to be Psoi B'Kadesh, and because of that, it should not be included. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Omer, not true. Rabbi Meir even held that an oaf that was a b'chuser aver that you did malika to is going to be metayer b'day nevela of tumas beis habliya. Itma nami Omer of Bevi Omer Rabbi Elazar b'taher haya Rabbi Meir even b'balei mumin. As a matter of fact, forget about balei mumin. How about doing malika on a chicken? Rabbi Meir held that if you went ahead and you did a malika on a chicken, which is obviously about as far as you can get for having a kosher bird on the Mizbeach, which has to be a Torah Nuvneyena, it would also, even though obviously that can't be put on the Mizbeach, and obviously that would be im also tered, and afal pikein, it's still considered to be tahar, which means that basically what he's saying is that the Mishnah that we had before that said beferish, that's not true. We talked about if you were more like a bird who was missing an eye or a leg, we said before it would not be tahar. According to that, Rabbi Elazar is saying, well, that's not true. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Okay, fine. So it wouldn't be going like Rabbi Meir.
Who's Rebbe translating, please, the Avazim?
I'd have to ask the archaeologists, but Avazim are generally translated as a goose. Geese. Boy, Rebbe Yirmiyahu. Okay, this is a fascinating, I mean, this the whole idea of the incredible way in which each of these concepts is totally an abstract concept. So what we're saying basically is that when you do something that is the way that the Torah said that the particular animal is to be dealt with, that is considered to be something which is ipso facto a metayer. So now if we're talking about a case of an egla arufa, so the Torah said you're supposed to break its neck from behind, and that's the way that it's mechaper. So then that would mean that it's a kosher shechita, so to speak, and it takes away the tumas nevela. Again, the concept, because again, malika is normally just murder. And since the Torah said to do the malika, so it's not a nevela, and it's a kosher bird, and it's even a tire midei nevela, in the case of a drink. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. So I have another issue. Let's take the case of arifa. So I'm taking for granted that if you do arifa on the egla arufa, then that's not going to be metame because that's the way that you do the kosher slaughtering. In this case, it's an arifa, not a shechita, of an animal for this particular aveda. Now, suppose instead of having an egla, I mean, we just talked about, according to Rabbi Meir, doing malika on a chicken. So I want to ask you, how about if you do arifa on a goat? It's like the total abstraction of the idea. So malika on a chicken should equal arifa on an aes, right? So suppose you went ahead and you were orav aes. So what would be the din over there? Would it be metayer bidei nevela or not? I mean, avazim and tanegolim, why are we saying a libra Rabbi Meir that the malika is metayer bidei nevela? Because, look, they're types of birds, so they don't have to be. We said that if it's not a malika kshera, it still is metayer. Metayer what? Metayer birds, I guess. So then these are birds, aren't they? So then it's because they're mina de ofot. So we could say, okay, there's one general category called ofot. Masha'enkin, normally we actually make a big difference between a behema gasa and a behema daka. An egla is a type of, I mean, it's a small because it's a child, but it's a behema gasa because it's a bivon. And a behema daka would be a goat. So would a goat be the same as an egla? Or do we say, look, they're both behemot. They're both in general behemot, the same way that chickens and turkeys are both generally birds, and therefore malika helps on them. So an animal, a mammal, they're both types of mammals. So maybe it would be actually not metame if you did an arifa to a goat. Wait, and Redimi was sitting and saying that over, and Abaya said, wait, hold on 1 minute over here. This whole question is based on the idea that an egla arufa is actually kosher in the sense that it's not going to be metame to mesnevela, because you did a proper, so to speak, shchita replacement on it. So just like malika is a shchita replacement, arifa of the egla is a shchita replacement, so to speak. Is that true? Do you know that for a fact, that an egla arufa is not metame like an avela? And Rav Dimi said, yes, I do know that for a fact. And Amei Devei Rabbi Yonai, because the way that we know that is because since the Torah calls it Kaper la'amcha Yisrael. So if you use the word kapora, then that means that you're comparing it to kachin, where it says l'chaper. So just like if you bring an animal in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be metame nevela. Same thing would be true that if you do the actual, if you do it, at least you do it correctly, if you do the arifa, for sure it's not going to be metame. The only question is, if you don't do it correctly, whether we can broaden the concept the same way that Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Lazar, broadened the concept of malika to apply to a turkey. Masiv Rabbi Nasan Avuah Rav Huna. Is that really true that it's not metame? The braita is medayik, the chelev nevela, the chelev trefa, yaseh lechol melacha, the achol lo tochluhu. Ein li el, as the braita says, ein li el achelev, she'asur ba'achila mutar ba'hana'a. So that's all that it said. I would only know that the tahira of nevela, I mean, the tire of the tumas nevela applies to chelev, even though achol lo tochlu. But that's where it's mutar b'hana'a. What about if it's even usur b'hana'a? So let's say that we have the chelev of a shor haniskal. A shor haniskal, the Torah said, ba'ala shor naki, which means that it's completely usur b'hana'a. Or what about an egla arufa that is also usur b'hana'a? How do we know that that would be included? Talmud Lomar, Kol Chelev. So it says Kol Chelev to include even the Chelev of the Egla Arufa. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Egla Arufa itself is Tahar, and then how would I think that the Chelev is Tame? That doesn't make any sense. Yisak, I think the Egla Arufa is Tahar. So, what, this is what we were thinking? We were thinking that it's actually tahar, but the chelev is tameh. I mean, that's crazy. The only thing that we found was that even when things are tameh, it's only their basar that's tameh, but not their chelev. So, what was the havamina? That I need a special pasuk to tell me that it's not going to be tameh. makes no sense, you see, that we assume that the egla rufa itself, the meat, is definitely tameh, and we need the pasuk to tell me that what the dinner is about the chelev, right? No. We're not talking about, of course, if the case was that we actually did the arifa of the egla rufa properly, that's not what we're talking about. Of course, we don't need a pasuk for that. Over there, the whole thing is tar. The basar is tar, and obviously, the chelev is tar. We only needed this pasuk to tell me that if somebody went ahead and instead of doing the arifa on an egla rufa, he went ahead and he did a shchita on the egla rufa. So he did it wrongly. So there the question is, what would be the din? That would be similar to doing the shchita on a shara niska. Okay, so what would be the din? Hecha de ishchat mishchat, after it was already usher b'hana'ah, we're going to see that the egla rufa becomes usher b'hana'ah the moment that you take it down into the nachal, as we'll see. So at that moment, if you shechted it after it was already usher b'hana'ah, what would be the halacha of the chelev? Why wouldn't the v'teni l'shchita l'tara mi d'nevela? I don't understand. That still doesn't make sense. I mean, I understand that it's not going to be mutter to eat because it's usher b'hana'ah. What does that have to do with the din of tumas neveles? Who ever heard of such a thing, that if you did a proper shchita, that something would be metame as a nevela because it's usher b'hana'ah? I never heard of such a thing. I mean, I don't need to tell me the pasuk that if you do a proper shchita, I mean, unless, of course, you hold like the mani omar, shchita she'ena ruya zlav shba shchita at all. That's something else. But over here, how would you have made it a nevela if you did a proper shchita on it? Sorry. Okay, yes. You're right. I don't need the pasuk for a case where you shechted it. But I'm talking about a case where it died. You didn't do arifa. You didn't do shchita. What's the din of the nevela? That's where we need it. Okay, so tell me something. You're taking for granted. You need to tell me that kol chelev, that idea is coming to tell me that even if it's definitely tameh, because it's usher b'hana'ah and it died, that even though it's usher b'hana'ah, that it still is not metameh, even though the way that the Torah expresses that din is yaseh l'chol melacha. And over here, it's not really yaseh l'chol melacha because it's usher b'hana'ah. Kamash malan that afal pikein, all chelev is included in this heter. That makes sense. But the one thing that I'm not quite sure about is that you said that it is talking about a case where it died as an egla rufa, and you took for granted that that would be usher b'hana'ah, which is why I need the pasuk to tell me that the chelev nonetheless is not metame. But how do we know that? I mean, I understand that if you actually did the arifa of the egla in the nachal eitan, so there that teaches us that you have to leave it there in the nachal eitan, that it has that same din of usher b'hana'ah. But here you're telling me that it's even when it's alive, it was usher b'hana'ah. Is that true? Yes, it is true. Omer Rabbi Yanai, I was once even taught what the specific point was that was critical that made it usher b'hana'ah. It was not the fact that you set it aside to be used as the egla rufa, but I don't remember. I can't remember what is it that made an egla rufa, a din of an egla rufa, which would be usher b'hana'ah. I don't remember. But in the Beis HaMedrash, I mean, all of the chaverim, they said mitzad asfara, nazbin chavraya lemeimar, that it's yiridata l'nachal eitan hi osarta. Once we bring it down to the nachal eitan, at that point it becomes usher b'hana'ah, and that was the case that we were talking about. We had been moried it to the nachal eitan, and it was usher b'hana'ah, and then it died. So what would be the din? That's what the pasuk was coming to tell me. What would be the din of its chelev? And now you have the additional question about the iser on the A's. But that, I don't know how to answer that. That the Gemara didn't try to answer, just pointed out how fascinatingly, according to Rabbi Lozer, we would have the same type of abstract issue, binogia, the identity of what things are included in the new heter that we just discovered now, a new heter We thought we knew all the different ways that you could be matir something. So we talked about Shechita, and then the Shechidish of Malika, and we took even Malika for Thanksgiving, for turkeys, of course, not no, again, the question of whether it would be not considered to be an Avela. And we end up finding this new thing, which is Arifa, which is completely and totally the opposite of everything that we learned until now, that you cannot kill the thing. It's got to be done in some sense of cutting through the simonim. And here we mean even going from the back of the neck, in which case you actually kill it, with the Arifa would also be matir. Hadra lo chatata ov. Ah, there we go. We got some enthusiasm in there. And how about the next piece? Wow. All right, so we have our next perek, incredibly starting a brand new din of a perek about tarovis. And here we're talking about the tarovis of things. Remember, this is a big part of Isser Veheter that has to do not necessarily only with Kachim, but now we're going to be talking about Kol HaZvachim, Shinitarvu B'chata'ot HaMetot, or B'shar HaNiskal, Afilo Achas B'ribo Yom Butu Kulam, that there are certain things that are not Botel Barov, and a Tarovet will give the din of the thing that's Osir onto all of the mixture. So if you have a chatas hamesos, which we'll discuss in detail, but you remember there are chamesh chatot hametot, if one of them got mixed up and I can't identify him, all of them need to be left to be meta because they're asur b'hana'ah, to be discussed tomorrow and restarted. Okay, everyone. Whew. Well, that was quite a run, this dinim of the chatos ha'of and the olas ha'of and the different heterim for them and the mokum on the mizbeach and the different elements, the three different elements and how we can actually mix, but gave us 10 different combinations of heter and iser. And we ended up with the difference between, according to one shita, where we treat an oila like a chatas versus a case where we treat a chatas like an oila, and the differences between them. Amazing, a whole new world. And unfortunately, we have to leave it behind today to wait until we chazer it again. Well, we could chazer it again today. All right, then. We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow about this issue.